going to the word. Let us agree in prayer. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. We declare and decree this evening that as we teach the word, our hearts are receptive to receive. There is no confusion. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified. And Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. You would want to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's pay attention to a few things we paid attention to on Sunday. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. The Apostle says, "Now concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Yeah, now concerning spirituals, I would not have you ignorant. The word there, concerning, is the word that deals with in regards to or pertaining. Yeah, I mean, we can really stick with the word concerning. Yeah, so when you see the word concerning, it means you have to pay attention to what is being said next. And it says concerning spirituals, brethren. So firstly, it says spirituals as a word pneumaticos in the Greek. And it's a word that deals with the things of the spirit. And you see the word there, brethren, is a word that is adelphos in the Greek, which is a word that means or speaks about people that have the same source, the same kind, or people of the same kind, or people that have, you know, the same heritage or the same inheritance, you know, from the same womb, really. Yeah, so now concerning spirituals, those of you of the same womb or from the same womb or from the same source, I would not have you ignorant. That means I would not have you to be, the word there, ignorance, is the word there that means to shun knowledge, you know, ignorant, yeah, to ignore knowledge, yeah, to ignore knowledge or to ignore what is being said or to ignore a teacher or to be in the dark about a subject matter. You look at verse 4, it now says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." So consistently you see the word same Spirit in verse 4, is same Lord in verse 5, and what? Same God in verse 6. So the same God is equal to the same Lord is equal to the same God. Yeah, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. That's verse 6. Verse 7 now says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." So it means that every believer has been given an ability to display a manifestation or to display the manifestations of the Spirit. Yeah, so the manifestations of the Spirit are part of the inheritance that the saint has. Yeah, from the same Lord, that is the same God, that is the same Spirit. Yeah, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, that is every believer, to profit withal. Yeah, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now, the word yet to one is the Greek word that means that is M-E-N, and it speaks about certainly, truly, or indeed. Yeah, so for a good way to read verse 8 is, "For certainly is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge." Now, the word there too, before the another, doesn't have a translation in the Greek. Yeah, it wasn't translated from any word in the Greek. So the word there too is absent. So it is, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, another is the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." So we've cleared to one to be certainly, truly, or indeed. So indeed and truly and certainly is given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. Another gift is the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So the same Spirit supplies the word of wisdom and supplies the word of knowledge. He speaks about to another faith, verse 9, by the same. So you see the consistent use of same from verse 4, from verse 5, from verse 6, from verse 7, from verse 8, in verse 9. Same Spirit to another gifts of healing by the same Lord, that is the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, another discerning. So another gift is what? Faith. Another gift is faith. Another gift is what? healing. Another gift is what? A working of miracles. Another gift is what? Prophecy. Another is the discerning of the Spirit. They are all part of the manifestations of the Spirit that the believer has received upon believing the gospel. Okay, hold your thoughts. I'm going to John 3:16 quickly. John chapter 3 verse 16. John chapter 3 verse 16. John chapter 3 verse 16. So what it says there? John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Yeah, the only begotten son, that is Jesus Christ. Yeah, now the first begotten from the dead. Yeah, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Yeah, the life that God has is the everlasting life. Yeah, the life that God, look at John 14. Look at John 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Look at John chapter 14 quickly. Look at John 14. Look at John 14 verse 6. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, is the same person that says in John 3:16, "God so loved the world, yeah, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." So the life that Jesus has, that is the life we have received. Yeah, we have received the life of God by faith. Yeah, we've received the life of God that Jesus has offered upon his resurrection. Hallelujah. Yeah, so it means that there's a life that we've received, that is, there's a spirit we have received. There's a life we've received upon believing the gospel. There is a spirit we have received upon believing the gospel, but have everlasting life. Whoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The life, so we've received life. Hallelujah. So the receiving of life is the receiving of the Spirit. The receiving of life is the receiving of the Spirit. So we've received the life of God. That is, we've received the Spirit of God. Look at John 3 verse 3. Before you go down, look at John 3 verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Yeah, Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Yeah, so Nicodemus obviously knew that when he speaks about being born, a different personality is responsible for that. Yeah, a goat cannot give birth to himself. Another goat has to give birth to a goat. Yeah, no human can give birth to himself. Another human has to give birth to another human. So Nicodemus knew that fundamentally. So when he starts speaking about water, it will mean that water cannot give birth to anybody. Yeah, so he says in verse 4, in verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water." Yeah, so Nicodemus already told you, yeah, born of a womb. You have to be born from a womb. Yeah, a womb is what houses and gives birth. Yeah, so it means that a mother's womb is what gives birth to a child. The same way there's a womb that gives birth to a believer. Yeah, the womb is the womb of the Spirit. What you see in the book of John as water used for figurative of the Spirit. So except a man be born of water and of. The word there of, after the word there and, doesn't have a translation. So it is to be born of water and the Spirit. Yeah, the Spirit makes the Spirit definite. Not a spirit, it is the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So it is being born of water. The word there and is the word kai, which speaks about that is or which is. I mean to say, so except a man be born of water, I mean to say the Spirit, he cannot be a partaker of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So go back to John, 1 John now, 1 Corinthians rather. Look at 1 Corinthians now, 12. 1 Corinthians 12. See, so that same Spirit that we've received, that same Spirit that gave birth to us, the womb from which we are born again, yeah, is that same Spirit that is responsible for the manifestation that is written about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 7. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 12 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit," that same Spirit, "I am the way, the truth, the life." The life is the Spirit. The life is the water that is the Spirit. Altogether. So that same Spirit has certain manifestations. He now says what? One of the manifestations is the word of wisdom. Another is the word of knowledge. Another is faith. Another is the gifts of healing. Another is the working of miracles. Another is prophecy. Another discerning. Another tongues. Another interpretation. Verse 11 now tells you, "But all this," hallelujah, "but all this worketh, all this worketh, all this worketh, all this worketh, that one. Yet your attention should be on the same that one from verse 4. The one is the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. The same Spirit, the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. So, but all this worketh, excuse me, that one and this self-same Spirit. So it is that one that is the self-same Spirit. So you see the emphasis on same by Paul in 1 Corinthians. Yeah, he now says, but all this worker, that one that is, I mean, the self-same Spirit. He now says, dividing to every man, believer, severally as he wills. The one who is responsible for the willingness is the believer. Yeah, so remember, like we'll give an example. Water is supplied to your house, but you have to be willing for water to flow by allowing your tap to come on for water to flow. Yeah, however, there is always a supply of the Spirit. Yeah, there is always a supply of the Spirit. You are the one to be willing to take from that supply or to bring upon that supply for men or mankind to see or to partake of. Are we together? Yeah, so he says, but all this worker, that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. As the believer, the word there, he will, is a single Greek word. It's a word that means willingly, deliberate. He will, there's a single Greek word that speaks about the willingness of a man. How do you know? Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. Look at verse 2. For he that speaketh, so Paul says he that speaketh, not he that the Holy Ghost speaketh on his behalf. No, it is he that speaketh. It is he that speaketh. So he, the believer, that speaketh in tongues, speaketh not unto men. But who does the speaking? It is the believer. It is the believer. Yeah, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the spirit, he speaketh what? Mysteries. Howbeit, in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. The word there, mystery, is the word that is the Greek word mysterion. And the word that speaks about that which is to be explained. Yeah, something that has to be explained for understanding to be gained. Yeah, now, who needs the explanation? Is it God or man? It has to be man. It has to be man. Look at it again. Look at it again. Look at it again. He says, for he that speaketh, 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 he that speaketh. So it is the he that speaketh. Yeah, are we together? The he is to speak. Paul told you in 1 Corinthians 12 that the he has to be willing as he wills. So that he that is willing is the he that will speak in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 2. So for he that speaketh in tongues speaketh not unto men. However, he speaketh unto God. Howbeit, the spirit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Now, is the mysteries to the spirit or to the minds of men? It has to be the minds of men. Yeah, the language of tongues is a language that is not, or the mind is not familiar or, what's the word? Word just keeps my mind. Accustomed to. Yeah, that's the word. Yeah. The language of tongues is not a word that your mind, that you're listening to me right now, is accustomed to. See, your mind right now is accustomed to English. That is why every word I say, you don't need a translation before you understand what I'm saying. As I'm saying it, you get it. As I'm saying it, you hear it and you get it. You hear it in your heart, that is your mind, through your ears. But you don't need a translation. Why? Because the language I'm speaking right now is already a faculty in your mind. Now, the language of tongues is in the faculty of the believer, the spirit of the believer. Yeah, look at Mark 16. Look at Mark chapter 16, quickly. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Look at Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Look at that again. Mark 16, 15, he says, and Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Remember that word and? We used that earlier today, John 3, born of water and the Spirit. Yeah, the word there and is, I mean, which is, that is. So, verse 16, he that believeth, that is, I mean to say, he that is baptized shall be saved. So, to believe is to be baptized, it is to be saved. Yeah? But he that believeth not, he didn't say he that believeth not and is not baptized. No, why? Because baptism is really the believing. Yeah? So, he that believeth, if I hold your hands, go to Galatians 3. We're in 1 Corinthians 14,
yes,
but we're presently in Mark. Then go to Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Pastor, why do you repeat a lot of these things? Yeah, really, because a lot of people forget it almost every time after it starts. Yeah, so we need to keep staying at it. Yeah, you see, as believers, we are to never get tired of repetition. Yeah, in fact, that's a fundamental principle in our Christian faith. Yeah, never get tired of things being repeated. Yeah, never get tired of it. Never get tired of it. Yeah, you might, like I always tell you, you might have known or you might know everything I'm teaching. Yeah, but in the real sense, yeah, there is nothing wrong in taking notes again and again. Yeah, look at it. Look at Galatians 3. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 26. It says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." The only people that are categorized as the all are those that have faith of that these are those that are believers. Is now so you know. So Paul did not go to a church or a group or meeting of people where you have both unbelievers and believers and says, "Ye all are children of God." No, look at it. Look at it. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many," he now tells you who are they all. In verse 27, he says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." For as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." Yeah, "For as many of you as have been baptized," go back to Mark. Go back to Mark 16. Go back to Mark 16. Yeah. Now, what makes you baptized? It is when you believe the gospel that is preached to you. Look at Mark 16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So a good way to read Mark chapter 16, verse 16 is, "He that believeth, that is baptized, is saved, that is he has put on Christ." That is the child of God. Look at, remember, Galatians 3:26. "For all of you are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Yeah, "For as many of you that have been baptized." Yeah, the word there, baptized, means to be in identification with. Yeah, so to be baptized is to be in identity. So he that believeth, so Galatians is not saying, "For how many of you have been baptized by going into water." No, no, no. Paul wasn't teaching about water at all. You might want to lay your hands on the series Investigating Scripture, series 3b. We examine water baptism in details, at least to a large extent. Yeah, so he that believeth, that is baptized. I mean, so he that believeth is identified. Yeah, is what did you believe? The gospel. Yeah, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, that is baptized, is saved. That is, he has put on Christ, that is, he is a child of God. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs, so it means that if you believe the gospel, you've been baptized into Christ, you are a child of God, and this sign shall follow. What are the signs? He says, "And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils." Not pastors, no. Not bishops, not archbishops, not archreverends, not archprophets. No. "This sign shall follow them that believe." Who are those that believe? Those are the people that have been baptized into Christ. Those are those that have put on Christ. Those are those that are children of God. So, "And this sign shall follow them that are children of God." So, as long as you are a child of God, there is something called signs that should follow your believing. He says, "In my name, they shall cast out. In my name, they shall cast out. In my name, they shall cast out. In my name, they shall cast out. And they shall speak. They shall speak. They shall speak with new tongues." So, tongues is an installed faculty in the spirit of the believer. So, every believer who has believed the gospel, that is, he has been baptized, that is, he has been identified with the work of Christ, that is, he is in identification with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, he can what? Speak with new tongues. So, go back to 1 Corinthians. So, who is the he that is speaking with new tongues? Look at this way. Who is believing? You are believing. What happens to you? God comes into you. What happens to you when God comes into you? You have a mark. That means you have a spirit. That means you are a child. Altogether, what happens next? You have an ability, a vocal ability in redemption. So there's a vocal ability that comes with the salvation we've received. It says, "They shall speak with new tongues." They shall speak with new tongues. They shall speak with new tongues. Go back to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. So, for he that speaketh in tongues, yeah, look at it. Why can you speak in tongues? Because you believe, that is, you've been baptized, that is, you are a child of God. You remember, being a child of God opens or gives a vocal ability of tongues. So, he that speaketh in tongues, speaketh not unto men. Are we together? But unto God. For no man. Are we together? For no man understandeth. How be it? In the spirit he speaketh mystery. Now, the word there mysteries was used about 28 times. You know, we looked at that on Sunday. I used it again in Revelations here. Yeah? So now, what is the opposite of mystery? It is revelation. Yeah, mystery is something that needs to be explained. When revelation comes, it is no longer a mystery. Are we together? That's why we cannot afford to read the book of Revelation as a mysterious book. Yeah, look at, go to your hands, go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter 1, verse 1. Yeah, the Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. So, look at what it says. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Who is that? John. Yeah, the revelation. See, your Bible doesn't say the mystery of Jesus Christ. Do you get that? The mystery of Jesus Christ is not what is in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. It is the revelation. That means there is a revelation. That means Jesus is revealed. So it means that a proper way of reading Revelation is seeing Jesus revealed. Once you read Revelation and see a mystical Jesus, you've not read Revelations well, or the book should not be called Revelation. It is called Revelation because it reveals a person. So John tells you from the first sentence, this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Is the not the mystical mindset, not the mystical mandate, not the mystics behind the person of Jesus. No, the revelation of Jesus Christ. All together. So go back to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. So Paul tells you, he said, you speak mysteries in the spirit. The mysteries is not to in the spirit. Yeah, in the spirit you are communicating excellently. Look at it, it tells you. It says, for no man understandeth him, but he speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Now, the word they speak in that verse, the word they speak is the word laleo. L-A-L-E-O. Is a word that is used for regular communication or regular speaking. Just the normal way you talk. So, if we were to use a Greek word in the way in speaking in tongues and speaking in English, I can say, my dear brother, yeah, my dear brother, AY, yeah, laleo in tongues. That same word, laleo, doesn't have a distinct unit from when I say laleo in English. Yeah, that, I'm just trying to mix English and Greek, really, just for better understanding. But that same word, speak, doesn't have any spiritual signification apart from the fact that it means to speak. So, he that speaketh, not he that the Spirit of God will descend upon, you know, and he will fall on the floor before he speaks. Not he that complains, he that speaks. There's a vocal ability that makes you speak when you are born again. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. So, the same way you give birth to a child, yeah, you give birth to a child, a normal child giving birth to has a vocal ability to talk. However, he has to train his mind to understand the use of words over time. That's why over time, the words of babies become clearer. Yeah, the same way you are born again. Yeah, so at first you might start, yeah, you might not be sure of what you are saying. Over time, your vocabulary becomes clearer. Yeah, but you are speaking perfectly to God. Yeah, you are speaking in a convenient and perfect communication with God. He tells you, he that speaketh not in tongues, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. So, the word there speaketh is the word that is used for regular speaking. It's nothing special. So, I can speak regularly in tongues, and I can speak regularly in English. Yeah, it's not like there are some special prayers that you have to pray in tongues. Yeah, you know, when you are praying for the enemies of your fathers, you have to use tongues. Yeah, so the devil will understand you. So the devil will not understand. So, you know, when you speak tongues, no. See, the word there, speak, is a word that means that the same way you can willfully speak in English. Look at it this way. As you are listening to me, you decided to keep quiet to listen to me. You can decide to talk in the next 2 seconds by yourself. That same ability you have to talk by yourself in English is the same ability you have to talk by yourself in tongues. Difference is that one brings out English, one brings out tongues. Are we together? So, if I say talk in English, I can say talk in English, I can say talk in tongues. I am talking in English and I can talk in tongues by deciding to will. So, Paul tells you in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, as he will, so I can will to talk in tongues and do this. A pros info carnabelski farabski patan the devil key, a popre devoski tapan the never. Yeah, I just spoke in tongues and I'm using English to speak out the what explanation of what I just did. Look at what I just did. Yeah, I spoke in tongues. I am now using English. I am willfully using my English to tell you what I did, which is I spoke in tongues. Are we together? Yeah, so he says, he that speaketh in tongues, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. So he says that, he says, but he that prophesied, in verse 3, speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, to comfort. So it means that he that prophesied speaks to the minds of men for edification, to exhortation, and to comfort. We said the word there, mystery, is the word that speaks about something that needs to be explained. So, it is hidden to us, but not hidden to God. Why? Because you speak to God. God doesn't need the interpretation, dear saints. Your spirit doesn't need the interpretation, rest here, because it is a faculty in your spirit that produces the speaking. Look at it this way. Remember, we taught in church, yeah? It is first language before speaking. Before I can speak what I'm saying right now, it is because the language I'm speaking is already an installed language in the OS of my mind. So, I'm not saying OS of my mind. I'm not saying, what does OS of my mind mean? I'm not saying, okay, Paul says speak in tongues. I'm not saying, what does Paul mean? Paul is the word polo, and speak is the word that speaketh, and in tongues means tongolo, yeah, or glossa. Yeah, no. It is, I am speaking comfortably this way because the language I'm speaking, that is English, is an installed or is a faculty in my mind. The same way with tongues. Tongues is a faculty of the believer that the believer receives upon believing the gospel. So it is a mystery not to God, but to our minds and to the church. So Paul now says what? He that prophesieth, he what? Edifies the church. He exhorts the church. He brings comfort to the church. Now, so it means that the opposite of mystery, yeah, which is a mystery to your mind, is revelation. So what does that mean? It means that when I speak in tongues and I interpret it, I have converted a mystery and made it a revelation. Hold on. Let's take it easy. It means that when I speak in tongues and I interpret it, I have picked a mystery. What is mystery? That which is to be explained. Yeah? That which needs to be explained. That which can be explained or that will be explained. So look at it. I speak in tongues. It is a mystery to my mind, but I interpret it to make it a revelation to my mind. So I can meet a believer. We can come to the gathering of saints. Yeah? I will speak in tongues. That tongues I'm speaking is a mystery to your mind. Hello, it's a mystery to your mind, but once I interpret it, it is no longer a mystery to your mind. It is now a revelation. So your mind can connect with the interpretation. Why? Because your mind already understands the language of the interpretation. However, the interpretation is from the same source of the tongues, which is the spirit. I went together. We did justice to this in church over the last few weeks. Yeah. So the word there to reveal is the word that we saw on Sunday, apocalypse. Yeah. Apocalypse. What you call the apocalypsis. Yeah. A-P-O-K-A-L-U-P-S-I-S. Yeah. And it's a word that means to uncover or to reveal, as the word implies, revelation. To reveal that which is hidden. Yeah. So it means that when something is hidden and it's been revealed, we don't treat it as something that is still hidden. Why? Because it is revealed. There is light. Yeah. So the interpretation of tongues is from the Spirit. Remember, the leading of the Spirit in us is in impressions. God communicates with the believers in impressions, by impressions. Yeah. How we communicate that impression is in our hands. Are we together? We saw on Sunday. Yeah. So we said one of the problems that believers make in tongues and interpretation is that they want their interpretation to always tally with the number of tongues they speak. Yeah. Let me give you an example. Now, what I did was I spoke in tongues. Now, see what believers are looking for. Now, what I got in my heart while I was speaking in tongues, yeah, from the Spirit, was confidence for the gospel. Yeah, this is an example, right? So I got strongly in my heart that there is someone listening to me right now that would, that is strengthened and has more boldness and confidence for the gospel. Now hold on. What did I say? I said boldness and confidence for the gospel. Now hold on. See how I want to communicate that same truth. Yeah? In different words. Yeah, so think about it this way. I can give it as a story. Now, imagine a man who goes to the gym, right? And lifts up, you know, those dumbbells. And lifts it up and does it consistently and does it day after day, you know? And he does it day by day, week by week, month by month, you know? And he finds himself in a strange land and he has to preach the gospel, that is to do God's work. Yeah, for you would see that, you know, in your day by day lifting of those dumbbells, yeah, you've made yourself available for a mighty punch in the future. Yeah, you've made yourself and given yourself so much strength that a single punch will go a long mile or will go a long way in the future. So you have to do well to keep up with the, you know, the dumbbells you are lifting today. For you see, it's not going in vain. Hallelujah. Now see, I just interpreted something in different words, but the same confidence and boldness. Now, see how I'm going to relate it with tongues. For those dumbbells you lift day by day is you giving yourself to the place of prayer and to the place of the word. Yeah, by giving yourself to the place, in the place of prayer and the place of the word, you strengthening those muscles. You are strengthening those muscles. Yeah, such that, now remember I said something, such that in the days to come, when you throw a punch, it goes a long way. Now, what is strengthening those muscles? You are giving yourself in the place of prayer and the place of the word, such that in the days to come, when you find yourself in a city where the gospel is not heard, what do? The work you will do will go a long way. You'll see muscles won. What did I do? I spoke in tongues. I told you the impression I had on my heart at the time. I used three words: confidence and boldness for the gospel. Simple. What did I now do? I now used a story form to tell you about confidence and boldness. Did you get the point? You should have gotten the point. What was I saying? So all the dumbbells, all the lifting of dumbbells in the gym, throwing a punch, is all about the gospel. It's all about what? Building yourself in days where it looks like there is no much work to be done right now for you. It looks like you have too much time to yourself, and you are looking like you are jobless. Looks like you don't have anything to do with your time. Yeah, but this is the time when you give yourself to lifting those dumbbells. What is that? That is giving yourself to the place of prayer and the place of the word, such that in a future time or in the days to come, you throw a punch and you see souls are won. See what I just did? I used English to communicate the interpretation. However, what I'm saying is what? There is strength made available. There is confidence made available upon giving yourself to the place of the word, or in the place of the word, or in the place of prayer. I can as well just interpret my... So I said something on Sunday. Yeah, a lot of times we talk ourselves out of the interpretation by consistently remaining in tongues. And I told you something on Sunday. That's why you see a lot of times when I do tongues and interpretation, what do? I, in the midst of my interpretation, I go back to tongues. Yeah, really, I can choose to do it anyhow I want. I can choose to speak in tongues for 5 minutes and give an utterance in English for another 5 minutes without speaking in tongues at all. Yeah, I can decide to come and without speaking in tongues and just give an utterance, or give a prophecy. Yeah, I can decide to speak in tongues for 2 seconds, speak in tongues for 10 seconds and interpret that particular part, yeah, so that I might not forget, because the interpretation might be transient. Are we together? What happens on the long run? It is that I bring a revelation and make clear what seems to be a mystery. The moment you start hearing me saying dumbbells, place of prayer, place of the word, those are words you can relate to. So it's no longer a mystery. That is revelation as shown on your path. Hallelujah. Yeah. So you can speak in tongues. You're speaking in tongues, you are communicating perfectly in the spirit. Your interpretation is perfectly from the spirit. Yeah, but how you communicate your tongues is left to you. Is left to you. So on Sunday, we paid attention to psalms and spiritual songs, which I want us to pay attention to again today. Yeah, we paid attention to psalms and spiritual songs. So remember, it is the he that speaketh. It is the same he that will speak, and it's the same he that will sing. How do we know? Let's keep reading. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except as I speak to you, either by revelation, by knowledge, prophesying, or doctrine. and even things without life-giving sound, whether pipes or herbs. You know, I always want us to, you know, read this and just jump to verse 11, really. You're just using lots of figures of speech. Look at verse 11. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye. For as much as ye are zealous of spirituals, yeah, seek that ye may excel in the edifying of the church. Now remember, in verse 2, he told you that when you speak in tongues, you don't edify the church. Look at verse 2 again. Look at verse 2. He that speaketh in tongues speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understanding him, how be he speaking the spirit, he speaketh a mystery. Look at verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Yeah? So he that speaketh in tongues edifies himself. The word there edify means to build up, or ekedomio, to strengthen up, to build up, to bring strength. Yeah, so if you speak in tongues, you don't bring edification to the other. It is yourself that is edified. Look at it, verse 4. He that speaketh in tongues builds up himself, edifies himself. But he that prophesied edifieth the church. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye what? Prophesied. The word there rather is the word much more. So I would, it's okay, speak in tongues. I would want, it's good that you speak in tongues, but there's a rather, there's a much more. There's a to an end goal. Why? Because Paul is teaching about the gathering of saints. Hallelujah. The gathering of saints. The gathering of saints. The gathering of saints. So look at verse 14. Yeah? Well, where? For if I pray in tongues, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Yeah, the understanding there will be the mindset, the nous, your mind, the mind of the third party is unfruitful. Verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen, at thy giving of thanks? Are we together? Yeah, so look at it. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit. Now, what is blessed with the Spirit? Blessed with the Spirit is giving of thanks. Look at it. Look at it. He told you. He said in verse 16. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned? The word there, unlearned, is the word idiotis. A word that speaks about those who are unskilled concerning the subject matter. So, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen? That means, how can one who is unlearned about the matter of tongues know when to respond? That's what he's saying. Yeah? At thy giving, remember, when thou bless with the Spirit, how shall one respond at thy giving of thanks? So, giving of thanks is blessing with the Spirit. Seeing he understand not what thou sayest. Now, the word there blessed means to speak well. Yeah, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be our God and Father who has spoken well of us. Blessed be our God and Father who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. So we speak well of our God and Father who has spoken well of us. Yeah, we speak well of that God who has spoken well of us. Yeah, so he says that how will a man who is unlearned know when to respond when you speak in tongues? But what did he say in verse 17? He said, don't forget to. For thou verily giveth thanks well, but the other is not edified. How do you get that? So it means that when you are alone, if you speak in tongues and bless God in the Spirit, that is bless God in tongues. So look at it. Blessing God with the Spirit is equal to singing with the Spirit or giving thanks with the Spirit. That is just blessing God with tongues. Look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. So who is the will? Who is he that will? Is the believer that will to pray and the will to sing. So the same way you will be willing to pray is the same way you'll be willing to sing. All together. So singing in tongues, praying in tongues, they are all from the same Spirit. But you as the believer are the one to give a vocal expression with your mouth and your tongue. He now says, in verse 17, if thou verily give thanks well, but the other person, the other party is not edified. Verse 18, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in tongues. What is Paul saying? Among saints. Yeah, well, as I told you, in the church. In the church, we really mean amongst the gathering of saints. Yeah, what he says in verse 3 as what? He says, he that prophesies speaketh unto men. Verse 4, prophesied edifies the church. So, yet in the church, I rather speak 5 words. So Paul is saying, among saints, yet in order for saints to be edified or receive exhortation or comfort or instructions, he has to speak in 5 words. Yeah, so look at it. If I came to church today or came for this meeting today and was speaking in tongues from 7 o'clock till now, yeah, most likely what you still do is just to join me and speak in tongues and edify yourself. But imagine, I spoke in tongues for a few minutes or a few seconds and I told you the interpretation of tongues as boldness and confidence. Yeah, that brought edification to someone listening. That brought comfort to someone listening. That brought exhortation to someone listening. Yeah, so when it's among saints, yeah, speaking in tongues, yeah, will not bring exhortation or edifying to other saints but yourself. When it's among saints, speaking in tongues brings edification, comfort, exhortation to other people, including your mind. Are we together? Are we following? Yeah, so look at verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children. What is he saying? Yeah, when it comes to being angry, be a child in that. When it comes to understanding, he says, in understanding be men. Be a man in understanding and be a child when it comes to forgiveness. Yeah, forgive easily. Yeah, don't hold things for long. Yeah, but hold things about your understanding for long. Be a man in understanding. He says in verse 13, 21 rather, in the law it is written. In the law it is written. In the law it is written. So, first of all, Paul tells you in order for him to be understood among the saints, yeah, he has to speak 5 words or he speaks in a language they will understand. Yeah, but he now tells you in verse 21, in the law it is written, right? What is written? With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Verse 22. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Verse 23, if therefore the whole church, that's where Paul has been going to all day long. Speaking in tongues, edify yourself. Speaking to the church, prophesy, edify the church, exhort the church, comfort the church. Yeah, he has been going there for a long time. So if therefore the whole church could be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, yeah, so it means that every believer can come to the church and speak in tongues. Every believer can gather together and all speak in tongues. But it says, if therefore the whole church become together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that thou art mad? That happened in Acts 2. They spoke in tongues and people were saying, are these ones not drunk? Verse 24 says, but if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus the secret of his heart made manifest. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of the truth. Yeah, what is prophecy? Tongues being interpreted. Yeah. So, tongues interpreted, tongues and interpretation was taught by Paul as prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14. Yeah, now, it is when an unbeliever or one who is with you can listen to an utterance you give in a language his mind can comprehend. That is when you can say he is edified. That's when you can say that he can connect with what you are saying. Verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together? So Paul says, when you come together, everyone, so everyone can have a sound, everyone can have a doctrine, everyone can have a tongue, everyone can have a revelation, everyone can have an interpretation. However, let all things be done unto edifying. Let the end goal be edification. Hallelujah. Let the end goal of our meetings be that people come and live edified. Yeah, so you come, I edify you in tongues. I edify you in interpretation, rather. Yeah, you come, I give by revelation. I give a word of knowledge. Yeah, I can take from the Spirit to bring out something that will minister to you so that you are strengthened, you are built up, rather. You are strengthened from the words I use. Hallelujah. So, when saints come together, yeah, everyone has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue. So, it means that we can come together and just have a psalms meeting, like on Sunday. We can come together and just give out psalms. Everybody would have a psalm. Yeah, why? It is to the degree of your willingness you will have a psalm. See, if you are asked to come out and give a psalm, yeah, and you say, oh, pastor, I don't have a psalm. See, the energy you would have used to say, pastor, I don't have a psalm, you would have given a psalm. Really. Why? Because the same energy requires for you to speak in tongues is the same energy required for you to speak in English. And it's the same energy required for you to speak in, give a psalm. Knowledge might vary, but it's the same energy required. The same number of bones. See, when you speak in English, it's not that when you now speak in tongues, the number of veins that you use will be more. No. The same speaking, lalio, is what you use for English, use for Spanish, use for French, and use for tongues. It is the believer that will be willing to speak to bring forth from the wealth of what he has received. Hallelujah, that's the spirit. So, verse 27, he says, if any man speak in tongues, let it be done by two, or at most by three, or that by course, let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, what does that mean? If there is no one to bring the interpretation for the edification of the saints. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence. Yeah, if you end here, you think he says you keep short, you will lose out. Yeah, hey, he has already told you that when you speak, look at it in verse 3. Look at verse 3 again. He says, he that speaketh in tongues, but he that, look at verse 4. He that speaketh in tongues edifies himself, right? So it means that for every time you speak in tongues, there's an edification of yourself or to yourself. Hold on. Now look at verse 27. If any man speak in tongues, let it be by two, or at most by three, or that by course, let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Don't end there. There's no full stop there. There's a point comma, that's semicolon, if I'm not mistaken. And let one interpret. And let him speak to himself and to God. So it means that for every time there's a speaking, you are either speaking to men or to God, which he calls speaking to himself. Hallelujah. Look at 28 again. Yeah, the word there, silence, doesn't mean to keep short. Yeah, he told you the meaning of silence. Look at it. How can you come to a meeting and say keep short, and yet he says let him speak to himself? Speaking is an actual word. You don't speak in your mind. You speak with your words. You speak from your mouth and your lips. So let him speak. Let him speak. Let him speak. Let him speak. So most it means to speak. It means that speaking negates silence. So it's either that the word there silence was wrongly used or it was used in context. So let him keep silence in the church. Let him keep silence in the church. That is, let him speak. Let him speak to himself. Hallelujah. Let him speak to himself. He has told you, when you keep quiet, look at it. Let him speak to himself and to God. Yeah? So keeping silence in that context will mean to speak. So keeping silence in that context is not to keep short. Hallelujah. Look at it. Look at verse 39. Let the prophet speak two or three, or let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that seated by, let the first hold his peace. What is Paul teaching? Order amongst the saints. Order amongst the brethren. Order amongst the brethren. Yeah? Order amongst the brethren. Yeah? He now tells you in verse 32. He says, in verse 31, for ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. What another word for comforted he uses in verse 4, in verse 3, is what? Edified or exalted. Yeah? So, verse 32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet. What is the spirit? That's figurative for the utterances of the prophets. Yeah, he's not saying the prophet has plenty spirit. That's why they see more. No. The spirits of the prophet is not saying the prophet has more than one spirit. Every believer has the same spirit of God. No pastor has a better spirit than an unbeliever. No pastor has a better spirit than a believer. A believer who doesn't go to church on Sunday. As long as he's a believer, the same spirit in the believer is the same spirit in the pastor, the same spirit in the prophet. Yeah, so the spirits of the prophet, it means the utterances of the prophet are subject to the prophet. Why? Because he told me in verse 12, it is as he wills. It is the believer that is to will as he will. So you can will to subject your utterances to be short. You can also will to give expression to your utterances to bring comfort, exhortation, and edification. Hallelujah. Yeah, but go back to verse 26, where we are. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm? So it means that we can come together and have a psalm. Let's pay a little attention to what you call psalms. Remember, he told you in verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless, so to bless the Lord with the Spirit is to give thanks in the Spirit. Hallelujah. So, I can bless the Lord and give a psalm. I can bless the Lord in the Spirit and give an interpretation that will be a psalm. Hallelujah. Remember, I'll say something. A believer can start in tongues but might not know where we end. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, a believer can start in tongues and decide to bring something with word of knowledge out of the Spirit or by the Spirit. Yeah, a believer can start in tongues and end in prophecy. We practice that over and over in church. You can start in tongues and end in a psalm. You can stand in tongues and end in an edification, in interpretation. You can start in tongues and end and give a revelation. You can start in tongues and heal. Hallelujah. You can start in tongues and end up in healing. You can start in tongues and end up with word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Yeah, so you can start in tongues. What am I saying? Stand. You can start in tongues and end up with a psalm. But it says that when we come together, every one of you has a psalm. Every one of you had a psalm. Every one of you had a psalm. Every one of you had a psalm. So you speak in tongues and get used to speaking in tongues. With practice, you get used to speaking in tongues. However, what you say is in perfect communication by the Spirit. Yeah. So over time, when you practice your tongues, over time you get promptings in your heart. Yeah. Over time you get to understand the interpretation. Yeah, remember, the believer is in a perpetual, continuous union with the Father. The believer is, look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the love of God, that is the communion of the Holy Ghost. The believer is in a consistent, perpetual, permanent, everlasting communion of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, if you have a good Bible there, you see that the word there, B, is in italics, so it wasn't there. So, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the love of God, that is the supply, the communion, the koinonia, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost with you all. The word there, amen, done, fulfilled. So, the believer is in perpetual communion and koinonia and fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Who initiated it? It is the Holy Ghost. It is the resurrection initiated it. What did we do? We believed and became a partaker of it. In fact, okay, go back to 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians quickly. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. He that is joined unto the Lord with is one spirit. Look at verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are of God. So, it means that once we have become born again, we are in consistent communion and fellowship with the Spirit. So, you can consistently live your Christian life when you are always alone speaking in tongues. You are communicating and giving vocal expression to the redemptive ability you have in you, what is the work of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, it means that remember Paul says something, when we come together, every one of you hath a psalm. Every one of you hath it. Now, see what Paul, the same Paul wrote in First Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 18. See, and be not drunk with wine wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Hold on, go to Acts 2. Go to Acts chapter 2. Look at Acts chapter 2. Verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Look at verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Hold on. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Remember, the word there and is the word kai, that is, which is. So, I mean, and they, so Luke is saying, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, they began to speak with other tongues. Now, when they began to speak with other tongues, what did the passerby say? Verse 13. Others were mocking, saying, these men are full of new wine. What did Paul tell us in Ephesians chapter 5? Do not be drunk in wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. So it means that there is a similarity between the activities of a drunk man and a man filled with the Holy Ghost. So it means that you can see a man filled with the Holy Ghost. For example, in Acts chapter 2, those were men filled with the Holy Ghost. See, those were men who were full of the Holy Ghost that were filled with the Holy Ghost. Remember, to be filled with the Holy Ghost is an action that is taken by the believer. To be full of the Holy Ghost is an action that God does towards the believer. Yeah, once a man believes the gospel, he receives the indwelling of the Spirit. Yeah, so that's what we call the Spirit within and Spirit upon. Spirit upon means an action is done by the believer whereby he takes from the Spirit within and puts upon. Upon is just figurative for the fact that other eyes can see what you do. It's upon. Yeah, it's not like it's on top of your head. No, it is that people can see an action and say, so look at it. When you drink wine, wine is inside your body. That's alcoholic wine. Yeah, when you drink alcoholic wine is inside your body. Yeah, there's a way you begin to stagger and move, and they'll say that man is what? Drunk. That is alcohol upon. Did you get that? You get that? There's alcohol within. Yeah, there are men who drink alcohol, for instance, right? And you will not, they can take 10 bottles and it will not move them. They will still walk normally and they can still even drive to Lagos from Abuja. Yeah, there are men like that. There are big men like that. Yeah, so, but there are men you will see, after a few cups, they are full of wine, yeah, but there is a demonstration you will see in their body language, in their movement. So, the alcohol was first inside of them, then their action reproduces an effect from the alcohol inside of them. That's what you call alcohol upon. When you say alcohol upon, does it mean that that man took the alcohol from inside his stomach and poured it on his head? No. Does it mean that there was a bottle from his stomach that he put on top of his head? No. The word upon, we just speak about something that is seen by the other eyes or by the eyes of other men. An actual scene. So, in Acts chapter 2, what happened? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, they began to speak. Action. A man is full of wine and is filled with wine. That is, he began to stagger. A believer is full of the Holy Ghost and is being filled with the Holy Ghost. That is, he begins to speak. There is something seen by the eyes of men, by the eyes of others. So, people said in verse 13, they were mocking. Ah, these men are full of new wine. Go back to Ephesians. Ephesians 5. What did Paul say? Don't be among them that will be seen as drunk with wine, wearing in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled. That means let there be an action that is seen that make people know that, oh, you've taken from the Spirit within to be upon. Hallelujah. Yeah, look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves. Speaking to yourselves. Can you see? Well, now, remember, it says be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Remember in chapter 1. Look at chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. See, so it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also when you were after that ye believed, ye were sealed. Now, what did Mark say? He that believes shall be baptized. What did Paul say is baptized? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So a man that believes the gospel that is preached is baptized, that is, he is sealed with the Holy Ghost. That means the Holy Ghost is in the believer forever and ever. There is nothing that can separate or remove the Holy Ghost from the believer. It's impossible, impossibly impossible. Yeah? So, it says verse 14, that is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Yeah? 1 Corinthians 6, he said we've been bought with a price. Yeah, until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of his glory. So, there is no believer that lacks the Holy Ghost. So, the same letter where Paul said you are sealed with the Holy Ghost, he says be filled with the Holy Ghost. That means it's an action you are to do. Yeah? That's why I told you in the next verse, speaking. Look at Ephesians 5, 18. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at, remember, in Acts 2, they were filled. They were first full of the Holy Ghost by believing the gospel. Then they were filled with the Holy Ghost that, how did Luke know? They spoke. What did Paul say? Do not be drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. How? Speaking. So, Every believer is full of the Holy Ghost forever. At every millisecond of your life, you are full of the Holy Ghost. But you are not always filled with the Holy Ghost. That means you are not always speaking in tongues. See, there are times where you eat pounded yam, right? And you are not speaking in tongues as you are eating pounded yam. Yeah, you can't say you are praying in your mind. You don't speak in your mind. Very interesting. Yeah. You know, you have people say things like, oh, I should pray in tongues in my mind. Listen, so when you go for a visa interview and they're asking you a question, what do you say? It's my mind. Just read. Just tap. You will connect. Connect to my frequency. No. Speaking is an action word. So, it is the speaking of the apostles and disciples in Acts 2 that made people say they were drunk. It means there was an action that was seen that people said, oh, this is why I'm drunk. Paul now tells you, do not be drunk with wine wearing in excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. How? Speaking to yourselves. Oh, glory to God. Among saints. In psalms, that is hymns and spiritual songs. He now says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What does it really mean? Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah, so, he said, remember, in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, when ye bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned know when to say amen at thy giving of thanks? What did Paul say? Paul said, no, when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, yeah, there's something that can be done. So you can choose to speak. You can choose to pray. In chapter 5 of Ephesians, he spoke about speaking. In chapter 6, he spoke about praying. Look at chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's praying in tongues. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. So you can choose to pray in the Spirit and sing in the Spirit. Pastor Paul tells you in 1 Corinthians 14, I will sing in tongues and sing in my understanding. I will pray in tongues and pray in my understanding. Paul tells you, he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, yeah, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So there's a prayer in spirit, there's a prayer in tongues, and there's a singing in the spirit and singing in tongues. We're not the same. Look at chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Go back to chapter 5, where we really are. Glory to God. Look at chapter 5. So, chapter 5 says, and be not drunk, verse 18, in wine wearing in excess, but be filled. So, how can a believer be filled? A believer can be filled by what? Giving a manifestation of the Spirit that is given to every believer. Hold on. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 tells us, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Yeah, so every time the believer chooses to take and make display of that manifestation, he is filled with the Spirit. It means there's an action of the Spirit that is seen by other eyes from him. Are we together? Yeah, so be not drunk in wine. So there's a be not drunk in wine, but there's a filled. Yeah, so Paul will not just tell you what you should not do. He will tell you what you should do to replace that. That's why as believers, God doesn't need to tell you a joke before you laugh. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. See, God doesn't need to tell a joke before we laugh and sit on the floor. Yeah, God doesn't need to tell a joke. Why? Because laughing and sitting on the floor is just a means of being intoxicated by knowledge or being intoxicated from the Spirit within. What is Paul saying? See, you ask people, say, oh, anytime I'm depressed, just give me one alcohol, one bottle of Baileys. Yeah, and I'll be fine. One bottle of, Pastor, how do you know all these names? Yeah, I'm in the world, yeah? I go out, yeah? So, Pastor, the truth is that, sometimes, anytime my head just scatters around, Pastor, just one cold bottle of, stout will calm me down. Paul says, you see, there's another way you can calm yourself down. Hallelujah. There's a way you can calm yourself down by being filled with the Spirit, by giving a vocal expression to that ability you received from new birth. Yeah, there's a way you can calm yourself down. You don't need any other external factor to intoxicate yourself. You can sit in your room and be intoxicated for hours. You can sit in your room and be intoxicated for hours, for days, for minutes, for seconds. He says, do not be drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking. As long as your mouth can open to speak, you can speak continuously, perpetually. You can give an expression to the manifestation of the Spirit you've received. Yeah, upon the new birth. He says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns, Spiritual songs. What are spiritual songs? It's a singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Paul tells you in 1 Corinthians 14, he that giveth thanks in tongues, giveth thanks well. You give thanks perfectly. You give thanks perfectly. The reason why you interpret in psalms is for the edification of your mind and other people around you. But you are singing perfectly. You are giving thanks perfectly. Hallelujah. 20 verse, Ephesians 5:20. He says, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Giving thanks always. Giving thanks always. Yeah, giving thanks always. So, on Sunday, we had a practical class for about an hour. So, we had saints come out, sing in tongues, and give an interpretation. Yeah, we had ourselves edified. Yeah, we had people give us songs. We had people give us songs by the Spirit. We had people give us instructions by songs from the Spirit, from the Spirit, from the Spirit. Paul now helps you to understand what singing spiritual song really means. Go to Colossians, verse chapter 3. So see what Paul means by singing spiritual songs. He's not out of the blues. Yeah? Yeah? Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 16. See what Paul teaches with spiritual songs. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah. So, you see, Paul says, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. See, you see what? Remember, there is a being full of the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Holy Ghost. Being full of the Holy Ghost means you have the Spirit within you, is already in you. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is what you call the Spirit upon. That means an action you do such that there is a display that people will see. See what Paul now tells you. Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The word there, word of Christ, is the word that speaks about the message, the logos. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. Hallelujah. So what is that thing that intoxicates you? The same way an alcohol cup or an alcoholic wine or glass will intoxicate another brother. Yeah, what will intoxicate you? Let the word of God. See, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Look at it. The only way you can stagger, when you've taken alcohol is because wine is dwelling in you richly. So it means that you can also stagger when the word of God dwells in you richly. Yeah, really. Yeah. See, it says, let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. Look at it. A man drinks alcohol, alcohol dwells in him richly. Yeah. A man can allow the message of Christ dwell in him richly. For the man with the alcohol, who alcohol dwells in him richly, you will see him stagger. You will see some expressions to show he might be drunk or he's drunk. But the believer, the expressions we see, how do we know? In teaching, look at it, in all wisdom. It says, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns and spiritual songs. It says, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. It says, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. It says, so edifying us. Remember, the end goal of interpretation is to what? Edify, exhort, and comfort. So, on Sunday, we had amongst us that came out and said this, and sang that. We were edified. We went home. Yeah? So, a typical way to explain that service on Sunday is that we're drunk. Yeah? A typical way to explain that service on Sunday is that there was the Spirit upon us. So, what did we do? We took from the Spirit within and placed upon. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, what helps and guides us in our tongues and interpretation? Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. So, look at it. Tongues is always perfect communication with God. But you can know a man who needs to grow by listening to his interpretation. See, you don't know a man who grows spiritually by his tongues. No. A new convert can speak in tongues instantly. So that's not spiritual growth. You can know a man's spiritual growth by his interpretation to the tongues. How's it get that? So when you see a man speaks in tongues and he says, thus says the Lord, I will pour out my anger on the land of Boko Haram, and everybody will die all of a sudden, and they will stop terrorizing my people. The people that are terrorizing that people, God wants them saved. Yeah, so as thus says the Lord, for I will gun them down like a bullet from an AK-47 and see that there is no peace for the wicked. God wants peace for the wicked, though. See, you might hate me for this, but it's the reality, yo. Yeah? Yeah, God has supplied peace to mankind. Yeah, God wants the entirety of mankind to receive his peace. Yeah, we all have willpower to choose whether to receive or not. But the law, look at it, go to 1 Timothy. Look at First Timothy. Go to First Timothy quickly. In case you are not, in case you are not happy with God. Look at First Timothy 2. Look at First Timothy 2. Don't think that God will wake up one day and kill everybody in Zamfara, be Bachi. He's a liar. Hey, Bible says in John 10:10, says the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I've come to give life. So it means that if God kills, it means that you can put God and the devil on the same table and collect lowest common multiple, LCM, the highest common factor. You realize that God is a better devil. Yeah, God is just a better devil who sent his son. But both of them key. No, now you can't put God and devil in the same page. No, they are not mates. Yeah, God is light. How can he who is light be killing? No. Killing is darkness. It's not of God. Yeah, that's why God came to deal with death by dying. Hebrews. Look at 1 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy 2. Verse 3. Yeah. For this is the good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. This is good, brother. And acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Yeah. So when you see a man speaking tongues, yeah, and his interpretation of tongues, speaking about God killing people, it means that he has not allowed the word of Christ to dwell richly in him. He has allowed the mindset of mankind to envelop his heart. That's just the honest truth. That's why you see, a believer that's properly taught, we never pray for anyone to die. You know, especially in this part of the world, we all believe in, you know, people, generational fighting, people are always fighting me. Let everybody fight you. What God wants for people that are fighting you is their salvation. Simple. There's never a time where you pray for God to kill and God will answer such prayer. Never a time. It's not taught in scriptures. You know, so go back to Colossians 3. It says, let the message of Christ. So when we listen to your interpretation of tongues, yeah, and you sing a psalm, and your psalm is saying, for there is fire in the land of Yubi, and I will send my fire to kill the peace. What do you say? Oh God, calm down. Go back to Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. Hallelujah. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. So that when we see you drunk, we know what we see from your drunken state is what? Psalms, hymns, prophecies, utterances, healings, things of the spirit, spiritual songs. Hallelujah. So what are spiritual songs? Spiritual songs is just really giving a melody to the doctrine of Christ that you've received. Doctrine of Christ that is in you. You see, like I would always say, God's word already to us can sorted out over 50% of what God wants to say every time of our lives. Are we together? God has spoken in his word. His word is to us final authority over our lives. So every other dream, every other revelation must submit to the written word. Yeah, that's why you see Jesus. When Jesus died and resurrected, he didn't say this is where the nail entered. His Bible says in Luke 24, beginning at Moses and the prophet, he expounded unto them. Moses and the prophet are the written word of God is God's word to us at every time. So if you are called to give a spiritual psalm, you can go to Ephesians chapter 1 and pick out a singular verse. Blessed be the God, our Father, who has blessed us with our blessings, who has forgiven us, and create a melody for me to you, sang a spiritual song. Yeah, so every believer can be a composer. Being a composer, what helps some other believers, like I said on Sunday, over some other believers, is their knowledge in the music language or music theory or the practical of music. Yeah, really. That's what I always say. I said something on Sunday. You know, if you are a person that when they are singing English, you're always off key, most likely when you interpret your psalm, you'll be hearing three different keys. Really, the only reason is it's not because the spirit is faulty, it's your knowledge in music that is faulty. It's simple. It's not that hard. Yeah. That's why you saw on Sunday, some people had some tongues by the Spirit and they didn't give us a tune to it. What did we do? We gave a tune to their words. But they gave us a psalm. Or they gave us psalms. Are we together? So fundamentally, the message of Christ that dwells in us, yes, the message of Christ that dwells in us richly is what determines our flow of drunkenness. It's what determines our state of drunkenness. It's what determines the flow of the things that we see when we come together as saints or when we give expressions to the tongues we've spoken. So, for now, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. For now, we're going to put a comma to concerning spirituals. We think we have about 13 or 14 tracks right now under tongues and interpretation, solely about that particularly. You want to lay your hands on the entire series and listen from tap on over and over and over again. Until I come your way again, Jesus remains glorified. Stay joyful. Give yourselves to psalms. Give yourselves to spiritual songs. And edify your brethren around you. Have a lovely night. Rest. I love you. Cheers.